Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
It's our unit on research today. We're talking about science and things like that. And, well, it's going to mention Einstein in today's lesson, but don't worry. We're not going to try to explain very complex mathematical formulas.
Thank goodness.
Because I don't really understand math myself that much. I haven't studied that much. But in any case, we're going to talk about something. You know, do you have a messy desk or do you have a clean desk? And whether or not you have a messy desk or a clean desk can determine your level of creativity. Do you believe that? I guess someone has been doing some research at the University of Minnesota, and they're telling us that, hey, if you have a messy desk, you might actually be very, very creative.
It's interesting. We're not going to be talking about Einstein, his famous theory too much, but we are going to be talking about a theory. This is a theory that people have, right? A theory is an idea that is come up with by scientists who want to explain some sort of set of facts maybe that they see or some sort of phenomenon. And they use this theory to explain why something is the case, and then they go on to experiment and prove that it's true. So when I read this, I thought it was interesting. I looked at my desk and I thought, it's kind of messy today. I guess I'm a creative genius. But I actually prefer my desk to be very organized and not messy. So, guys, we're going to go ahead and read this. See what you think. I think there are some interesting ideas here. We're going to read through today's lesson, and then Tom and I will be back to explain it. Einstein's famous theory of relativity states that E equals mc squared. He might have also said C equals M squared, in which C stands for creativity and M represents mess. Einstein believed that a messy desk was of great benefit. He once said, "If a cluttered desk is a sign of a cluttered mind, of what then is an empty desk a sign?" However, the question is clutter helpful? That's what researchers at the University of Minnesota set out to discover. They learned that people with messy desks are more likely to be creative and take risks. On the other hand, those with clean, organized desks tend to follow conventions and play it safe. Their conclusion stated that disorderly environments seem to inspire breaking free of tradition, which can produce fresh insights. Many famous innovators and thinkers prefer chaotic environments. Apple's Steve Jobs, Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg, and Foursquare's Dennis Crowley are three distinguished visionaries with disorderly desks. Mess might have helped literary types too, as renowned authors Mark Twain and Roald Dahl covered their workspaces in papers, books, and other odds and ends. There are disadvantages to cluttered workspaces, however. For example, people often judge you for having a messy desk, as they may assume you're a slob in other areas of your life as well. The clutter on a desk should be things that may inspire you, like art or magazines, and not garbage like food leftovers and used tissues. After all, there's a difference between being messy and being sloppy. The lesson to take from this is that a disorganized desk is nothing to be ashamed of, as it might help you find your own touch of genius.
Okay, it's our unit on research in the world of science, and we're talking about the hidden benefits of disorder. Most people would probably think that disorder means chaos, okay? If things are disorderly and a big mess, well, then you're not going to be very productive, and it's not going to do you any good. Something that does you some good is a benefit. Of course, if you get a job at a company, you want to have good benefits, you know, dental care and paid vacations and early retirement and a company car and stuff like that. But here we've got hidden benefits, things you don't see when things are disordered and or disorderly. And disorder here just again refers to the state when things are not in order. They are messy. They are confused. Things are chaotic.
I wanted to mention that we often use in with disorder. For example, I could say his finances were in complete disorder. So if you see disorder here as a noun, just note that you'll often see the phrase in something in disorder. I could say the clothes were in a state of disorder. His papers were in complete disorder. So it's kind of messy, kind of, it just lacks organization. So you don't always get a lot done if things are disorderly or if you see things in disorder.
You might get arrested by the police for disorderly conduct if you're behaving like a weirdo or something.
Or you're drunk and you're behaving obnoxiously or inappropriately outside, you can be arrested.
Exactly. But we're talking about some benefits of disorder here, and it doesn't mean that you're going to go to jail if you are disorderly, at least in this sense here. Well, now let's talk about Albert Einstein. Of course, he's most famous for his theory of relativity. Do I really need to explain relativity here? Because it's a very complex scientific theory.
I think I can do it pretty quickly.
Do it in like 10 words or less.
Well, he developed the theory which says that the way that anything except light moves through time and space depends on the position and movement of someone who's watching.
Okay.
Very interesting.
It also kind of has to do with the curved space and stuff like that. That's something he added to it later.
Mm-hmm.
But his famous formula for this is E equals MC2, where E here means energy equals matter times the speed of light squared. But in this next sentence, we're going to change the meanings of those letters. He might have also said C equals M squared, but in this case, C stands for creativity. It does not stand for the speed of light, and M represents mass.
We're making this up, though, right? This is a formula that we're making up.
Right.
C equals M
squared. He never actually said that.
No.
Basically, what it means is that the more messy things are, the messier things are, the more creative you're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's what some people might think. Einstein may have believed this. It does say he believed that a messy desk was of great benefit. Now, that's something hard to believe. This guy is a genius, perhaps recognized as the smartest man who has ever lived. How can you imagine this guy sticking his tongue out and having his desk full of junk there? I just can't imagine that. If he's going to be a genius, everything is going to be perfectly in order.
Well, he believed that a messy desk was of great benefit because he had a messy desk. I think if he had been very clean and organized, didn't have a lot of clutter on his desk, he would have said, well, a cluttered desk is a sign that you're disorganized and you don't have any good ideas. But obviously, he had a messy desk. So his question is, hey, if a cluttered desk is a sign of a cluttered mind or someone who doesn't think clearly, which is bad, is an empty desk a sign? What does that mean if you don't have anything on your desk? So we're going to be looking at the question, hey, is clutter helpful? Clutter is just a bunch of stuff that's kind of disorganized, and it's just filled or covered with a lot of things. Clutter.
Mm. Clutter, yes. I've had lots of girlfriends who complained about my clutter as well. How can things be such a mess? I'm going to break up with you. Things need to be orderly and tidy. How can you get things done if things are such a mess? But in any case, this is kind of what the researchers at the U of M are thinking here, University of Minnesota in Minneapolis there in the Twin Cities. And they have set out to discover this. The question is clutter helpful or is it something that just gets in your way?
Well, I come from a family that's pretty organized and a lot got done. But
It's very efficient, but maybe not creative. Who knows?
I don't know. My family was pretty creative. So it just depends, I guess. Well, some researchers who worked at the University of Minnesota, they wanted to answer this question, is clutter helpful? And they did some experiments. That's what researchers do. If you set out to do something, that means you're starting a process, and their process was to discover whether clutter could help people. They learned that people with messy desks are more likely to be creative and take risks. If they say more likely, it doesn't mean always, guys. It just means they found that to be true more then they found it not to be true.
There's a tendency.
Yeah, there's a tendency to be more creative and to take risks. If you take risks, you do things that may potentially result in loss for you or failure. If you invest money in the stock market, you're taking a risk. Yes, you could make money, but you could also lose money. So if you're a risk taker, sometimes it pays off, sometimes it hurts you.
Indeed. So that's what they feel, or at least that's what their research has revealed here. Again, we're saying that tends to be like that. It isn't 100% there.
No.
So that's on one hand, people with messy desks are more creative and take risks. They tend to be. But on the other hand, those with clean, organized desks tend to follow conventions and play it safe. So you can probably think of some examples of people you know who are totally organized, but they might actually be very boring people. I've known several people like that. But on the other hand, I've also known several organized people who are very interesting and creative. So it kind of depends here. But in any case, if you're organized, as the word here says, that means everything's where it's supposed to be. Everything is in a system. You can find things easily. You don't have to run around looking, where are my keys? Everything is disorganized here. Where's my wallet? How can I get to work on time if I can't find my wallet?
Okay, I have to confess, Tom, that yesterday I was late for an appointment because I couldn't find my keys.
Ooh.
Yeah, I need a special place to put my keys. So sometimes being disorganized or not having special locations for everything kind of is a time waster. It's not always productive. You don't always get a lot done.
Indeed. So, yes, on one hand, sometimes people can be creative if they're messy. But on the other hand, people with clean, organized desks follow conventions. A convention is just some idea or some rule that lots of people follow. It's a way in which something is usually done. So, yes, basically, they do what everybody else does, and they don't really, you know, think of other ideas. They just, well, that's the way they're doing it. My boss does it this way. My dad did it that way. So I'm just going to follow conventions.
Yeah, they just do the routine way of doing things. For example, one convention that we use in social settings is to shake hands. Hmm. So if you meet someone, it's a convention to put your hand out, shake their hand as a way of introducing yourself. So that's a convention. It's a custom or way of acting or doing things that people usually follow. So people who have clean, organized desks tend to just follow conventions. They play it safe. Or, in other words, they don't take risks. And again, if you're organized, you have things arranged in a really neat and effective way. And that's not always a bad thing. I think being organized can really help you sometimes. Because when I'm disorganized, Tom, I usually end up wasting time.
Indeed. So their conclusion stated that disorderly environments seem to inspire breaking free of tradition, which can produce fresh insights. If you break free of something, that means you basically let yourself be separate from something. To break free of tradition, you're not going to follow tradition. You're going to do your own thing. You're going to do what you want to. And you might also have some fresh insights. An insight is when you can get some kind of special understanding of something that other people don't have. So, yes, if you can have those insights, you could turn it into some kind of idea that you can sell and make a lot of money.
Hey, it's great to be creative. It just depends on how people's minds work, I think. I don't think it really matters whether you're messy or not. It's how you use your time and if you're able to produce and be productive with the time that you have. So we're going to take a look at some very famous people and how they seem to do better in really messy and chaotic environments. But first, guys, we're going to take a quick break.
Okay, so where we left off, we talked about this research done at the University of Minnesota I think also I remember seeing a book published out there that was talking about this very subject.
Oh, really?
Basically what it's saying is that if things are disorderly, then you might have a tendency to be more creative and to break free of tradition, and you might be more insightful. Again, that's just a tendency. It's not 100%. And let's talk about some examples here. Many famous innovators and thinkers prefer chaotic environments. If you're an innovator, that comes from the verb to innovate. The adjective is innovative, which means you can come up with some new ideas that haven't been done before. You can make changes in the way things have been done, especially it applies to breaking free of tradition. So we've got famous innovators, inventors could be an example of an innovator, and thinkers, of course, maybe philosophers, and they prefer these chaotic environments. They like this to be messy. They like things to be a little bit disorderly. Chaotic means things are in a state of confusion and disorder. They are disorderly.
You know, I guess my experience has been different. I was just thinking about my old boss in New York. He was a really creative thinker. Even though he was in business, he was always coming up with new business ideas. And his desk was very clean, very organized, very orderly. His apartment was immaculate, which means very clean and organized as well. But here are some famous people that you might want to use as a role model. They preferred chaotic environments, chaotic, a state of complete confusion or disorder. After, for example, a natural disaster, there might be a lot of chaos. Chaos is the noun form. Chaotic is the adjective form of that word. For example, Apple's Steve Jobs. He loved to have messy surroundings. It helped him be more creative. And then there's Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg. He's still quite a young guy, and he likes to operate in kind of a messy environment as well.
We've also got Dennis Crowley of Foursquare. That's another famous software company. And they are three distinguished visionaries with disorderly desks. So they've got messy desks as well. If you're distinguished, that means you're identifiable. You are unique. You're special. And people can recognize you as being different from everybody else. So they're distinguished here with some special kind of respect. And a visionary is somebody who has a vision, has ideas that people haven't come up with yet.
Yeah, they have great ideas about what should happen or be done in the future. So that's why we call them visionary. It's almost like they can see into the future. They really love to work with disorderly desks. Now, mess might have helped literary types, too. A literary type is someone who produces literature or really high-quality books. Might is a modal verb. It just means we're saying something's possible. Mess may have helped or might have helped. May and might are very similar.
Could have helped.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So renowned authors, if you're renowned, you're known and admired by a lot of people for some special quality you have or maybe some achievements you've attained. We've got renowned authors Mark Twain and also a guy named Roald Dahl, who's British, and they covered their workspaces in papers, books, and other odds and ends. Odds and ends is a phrase that we'll use together. It just means different kinds of things, little things. They're usually small. They're usually not very important. In England, they actually use the phrase odds and sods, not odds and ends. Ah. Odds and ends is American.
Odds and sods, that's the name of an album by The Who, actually.
Uh-huh.
Some of their songs that they
and they're British.
Didn't put on albums and stuff. So, hey, now you know.
Now you know.
But in any case, yes, Mark Twain wrote, you know, Huckleberry Finn and Tom Sawyer and Roald Dahl. He wrote stuff like James and the Giant Peach and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Oh, great kid stories.
They've been made into movies as well. And, hey, these famous writers, they actually had messy desks with papers and books and other odds and sods, odds and ends. It was just complete chaos on their desks, but I guess it had to be that way in order for them to produce the great fiction that they did. Well, let's move on now to the final paragraph here. Let's talk about some disadvantages and advantages to cluttered workspaces. First of all, the disadvantages. There are disadvantages to cluttered workspaces, however. So if something is beneficial, if something helps you, it is an advantage.
Mm-hmm.
But if it doesn't benefit you, if it just sort of holds you back and slows you down, then it is a disadvantage. So, of course, it's an unfavorable circumstance or condition that reduces your chances for success. And, of course, we don't like those disadvantages. Poor kids with not a lot of money in education have a lot of disadvantages if they try to move to a big city like Taipei.
Or I could say for people like me with curly hair, the humidity here in Taiwan is a disadvantage. We can't really control our hair very well. It's so humid here. Well, there are things that might cause you some difficulty or hold you back that might be really some bad qualities or features to having cluttered or messy workspaces. For example, some people are going to judge you for having a messy desk. They might look at that desk and go, hey, you're a slob, aren't you? If you assume something, you think something's true, but you don't have any real evidence, you don't really know for a fact that it's true, you just think it might be true. If you're a slob, it's an informal word that we use to talk about a person who we think is dirty or messy or even lazy. It's not a nice thing to call someone. You're a slob. If someone's a slob, usually their clothes are kind of messy. Maybe they might be dirty. They don't fit well. He doesn't comb his hair. He doesn't brush his teeth very often. Just kind of messy and also dirty. I get the feeling of dirty with slob.
Yeah, if you're messy, of course, that means things are disorganized. But if you're a slob, then that's when things start getting dirty as
well. That's bad. Yeah.
So, yeah, they look at your messy desk. And I, of course, had a messy desk when I worked in the office before.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, oh, you got a messy desk there, so you must be a real slob. I'm not going to hang around you. And I said, well, my desk is messy, but, hey, smell my armpit.
Oh, stop it.
It smells nice. I took a shower this morning.
That's not true.
I wash my hands before I clean, before I eat. But in any case here, they might assume this. They might just think that's the case based on some other fact. That's what an assumption is. You're American, so I assume you speak English. Actually, no, I'm American, but I'm from Mexico, so yo no hablo ninguna palabra de inglés. Discúlpeme, por favor. Sometimes you might run into people like that. You can't make the assumption that people from America automatically speak English or eat hamburgers and pizza. But in any case, they may assume that you are a slob in other parts of your life, and the clutter on your desk should be things that may inspire you, like art or magazines, and not garbage like food leftovers, like pizza crusts and crumbs from your cookies and pork chop bones and stuff like that. Also, use tissues. When you blow your nose, don't put the tissue on the desk there. Throw it in the nearest garbage receptacle.
Yeah, gross is what I want to say. Just gross.
Disgusting.
Yeah, you should keep food leftovers and use tissues off your desk. That's just garbage. Don't put that on your desk. It's different. As Tom said, if it's messy, it's still clean. It's just not as organized as it might be. But if it's sloppy or dirty, that's not a good thing. There is a difference between being messy and being sloppy. Sloppy is another word that means you're not careful, you're not neat. And also, sometimes if someone's sloppy, it gives people the feeling that you don't care. You don't pay attention, or you don't take the time or effort to be neat or careful. You might have sloppy handwriting, or your boss might say, hey, your work has been very sloppy lately, meaning you've made a lot of mistakes. Straighten up and change.
Yeah, shape up or ship out.
Yeah.
And in any case here, yes, there is a difference between being messy and sloppy. I would probably say that I'm a little of both, actually. Sometimes I think it's okay for things to be dirty. If things are too clean, then your body gets used to it and you get sick more often.
Oh, Tom.
Some people believe that theory. I don't know how true it is, but
yeah.
I don't really get sick that often.
Things to be clean, Tom.
Yeah, well, I don't leave tissues and the pizza crusts all over my desk.
Good.
Although I must confess, I have in the past trimmed my fingernails and left the nails on the desk as well.
That's gross,
yeah,
Tom.
A lot of people would consider that gross,
yeah.
So I do need to clean up my act in that one. But in any case, yes, we do need to stress the importance of knowing the difference between being messy and being sloppy. And the lesson to take from this, what we can learn from this, is that a disorganized desk is nothing to be ashamed of, no matter how many dirty looks you get from your colleagues in the office. If you do have a disorganized desk, you could always say, hey, there's research from the University of Minnesota that says that I'm much more creative and more of a risk taker than you with your nice, clean, antiseptic desk there.
You can't really say that. You could say, the research shows that I'm more likely to be creative than you are because your desk is all organized and neat. I wanted to mention that my mom made a big deal about the difference between being messy and being a slob or being dirty. Messy still means it's clean underneath the paper and the clutter and the books that are stacked on top of your desk. If it's dirty, that's when the bugs start coming.
The roaches,
that's
the
when
ants.
The cockroaches come in, the ants come in.
The worms, the centipedes.
You know, maybe. You don't want the bugs, the rats, the mice.
That is a good point. Yeah, keep the filth away. But, yeah, things can be messy. And I do notice, at least here in Taiwan, but I'm sure elsewhere as well, that lots of people make their office spaces quite cluttered with knickknacks. You know, it's not necessarily disorganized, but it's got all sorts of stuff there. Even though it's all orderly, they've got pictures of their family. They've got little souvenirs they got on their company trips to Cambodia or something like that. They've got posters. So that, to me, looks kind of disorganized. A lot of clutter there, but at least it's kind of in some sort of order. So perhaps they are creative. I don't know.
Now, here is the lesson or what you need to learn from today's program. Having a disorganized desk is nothing to be ashamed of. If you're ashamed of something, you feel embarrassed. I don't know. You just don't want other people to know. You feel really embarrassed that other people can see your disorganized desk. Don't be ashamed of it. It might help you find your own touch of genius. A touch of something just means a little bit. And genius is great natural ability, remarkable talent, or intelligence. So maybe you need a little bit of disorganization, or maybe you need a little bit of a messy desk to find your own genius.
Indeed. So, hey, reach out to your desk now, pick up those papers, those books, and just shuffle them around, make it a big mess, and maybe you will be the next Steve Jobs, or better yet, the next Albert Einstein. Who knows? Well, that brings us to the end of our program. Thank you for joining us, and we certainly hope you've learned a lot from all of us here at English Digest. I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.